This is September 4th, 2025. It's 9 a.m. And people present at the committee meeting are Brandon Areno, Travis Bohannon, myself, and Amelia Wilder. Okay, that's the call to order. Comments from the public. We don't have the public. And the first discussion item is the security report. So Brandon, take it away.
All right, there's currently two available positions for a full-time security patrol officer. There's 8 part-time gate officers and 7 full-time gate officers. 2 full-time patrol officers, 17 employees in total, 7 probationary employees. CPR and AED class is scheduled for September 10th at 8:30 a.m. All departments were offered to attend. Interviews were conducted, and 2 qualified applicants were offered the position of security patrol officer pending background and completion of physical. I contacted Central Valley Gates and to get a replacement of the North Gate visitor lane with the 10-foot arm, because currently it has the little stubby arm. And they're also working on a quote, which I've now received, to replace all existing gates to be updated to a more current model and technology, just like the one at the South Gate.
Okay, and before you go on, I just want to make sure that everybody who's looking at this or realizes that your 2 available positions are being filled.
Correct.
By the 2 qualified applicants.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the other thing is we are using 4 part-time people, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and the other, okay. The others, which 4 out of 8 would be another 4, right?
4 out of 8 would be another 4 for...
People who are in limbo, I guess would be the right way to put it.
Yes.
Yeah. Due to scheduling problems and need and those kinds of things.
Correct.
Okay, other than that, go right ahead.
All right, and we still continue to work with the Rancho Merida Association. I have meetings with the compliance officer, and we discussed, and also with Rod Hart, we discussed the options of updating our current community access system.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave me actually a good program to look into, and I've scheduled a demo and also a quote. So this coming month, I'll be compiling how much it costs to operate the ABDI access program that we currently operate, and then what the cost is of this new program. And it should speed up pretty much everything at the gates from what it looks like on the from the online model that they have.
Okay, that sounds so positive. I'm really absolutely thrilled about that. And also, you're working on a report that can tell us when we have the influx of people coming in through the gate, right?
Correct. I was just been waiting for ABDI to contact me, and unfortunately, they haven't yet. But
I'm 4 calls in, 4 calls and 2 emails into ABDI to get my last question.
And that's part of the reason why I'm looking into another company to
No response from the company that's supposed to be working with us.
They're a Florida-based company, so if they get hit by a hurricane, our systems will go down.
Oh my God.
Because our computer, our monitor things over there.
We need somebody closer. Yeah. It sounds like
exactly.
Like,
and this is
in Sacramento.
Yes, the company that RMA had talked about with me, they're based out of California. And from the email that I just received them not a few minutes ago, they had actually they said that they had moved over 4 communities already from ABDI to their access system. So it's not something that our employees are would be doing. We would have no staff hours needing to replace all these barcodes, replace license plates in the system.
Oh,
it'll be all completely on this company. So it'd be a smooth transition if we do go to this company.
Okay. Well, that is terrific. We've got a couple weeks before the board meeting, so I expect that you'll have some more responses and information, right?
Correct.
Okay, good. Go ahead.
All right, and pretty much August, the only notable incident was an incident that happened on Sunday, August 31st, around 8:30 p.m. There was a heavy police presence on the north and south residential areas with helicopters circling the area, searching for a suspect. At that time, there was no official statement that was released to me by the Sheriff's Department or to the general public at that time. So I think since then we have a little bit more clarification on that incident, and it's been out there published by the River Valley Times already.
So just for the sake of clarification, I guess you would call it, and this really does go to what we're investigating right now and trying to figure out how we're going to direct our security department. This was a violent incident, and the sheriff's department was called directly, as they should have been.
Right.
This is not within your scope of work. And
correct.
So I just want to make that perfectly clear. Okay?
All right.
And the other thing I'm just tossing around in my head as you were talking about this, I think maybe I'll give Rod Hart a call and ask if I can come to one of these meetings, just because there are some things that kind of hang around the fringe of what we are doing, and I'd like to get some either clarification or response. And I think probably the security, your meeting is probably the best place. So I'm going to give him a call. Okay?
All right.
Thank you. What's, you have, oh, one, go, are you going to go through the rest of the report?
I mean, if there's any questions, feel free to ask. It's generally just our statistics.
Right.
You know, there's no need to go into all of that, really.
Okay, my question at the, in relation to that, and I put it in my notes, what is my question? Oh, was there anything in this report that you think is not helpful or that is hard for you to work with, or anything that on the spreadsheet that doesn't reflect what's happening?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
It's just all general information that's really easy to input.
Right.
I mean, I almost wait until the end of the month to do it. I get it done that quick. I get it done within 2 hours.
Okay.
It's nothing to the type of work that I used to be tasked with before coming to the district. So
right.
It's a lot easier to work with.
Okay, good. I'm so glad to hear that. And do you get a lot of information from RMA? Or
About
I don't know, the things that the compliance people are doing to... Oh, yeah, because it says CSD and RMA.
Yeah, I mean, they pretty much put our totals
in
their totals.
They give you information.
Of course, they're always going to have a lot more. They have compliance officers that just look for compliance issues the whole time. And
they
well
only
as,
work behind the gate anyway.
Correct. And as well as they have the... I can't think of it. Those speed trailers.
LiDAR.
Yeah, the speed trailers.
The speed trailers.
And yeah, so those are pretty much where a good amount of the tickets get come from, is from that.
I haven't seen the speed trailers in a long time, and they have had multiple people looking at them. They are supposed to take a picture and...
Yeah, it's right there on the south. There's one on the South Parkway.
Is there?
There's one on the North Parkway. It's not necessarily a trailer. It looks more like a light post almost.
Oh, that's LiDAR.
Yeah, the LiDAR.
Okay. And that's a huge improvement over the actual trailers that we used to have that RMA had so much difficulty with getting to them to work and to sync with each other. So,
correct.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Moving along, we have the...
next thing I have in there, Linda, is your report.
Okay. Right. I wanted to write up some things to talk about here so that we can bring them to the suggested special board meeting, which I'll make a little more comments about it later on. But
I can't bring anything to the special board meeting that's this afternoon at 5:30 p.m.
No, not that.
The
to
regular.
Create a new special board meeting to deal only with this.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I was a little confused.
Of course, yeah. So most of what we seem to be struggling with is the concept of an observe and report. And we discussed the security job descriptions and equipment, which brought up the observe and report question. I know that other board members were interested in having us talk about that. I have included several articles and information on the description of security guards and the observe and report process. In discussion and decision making regarding job descriptions and equipment, we need to consider what observe and report means for Rancho Marietta and our special circumstances. Also, there are two possibilities that could provide or would provide Rancho Murrieta with expanded options for security officers. The ability to intervene in certain instances to be determined, that does not include, what did you call it when I talked to you, Brandon, violent?
Violent crimes.
Violent crimes, okay. Extensive in-person training focusing on de-escalation and other methods of intervention. So those are a couple of things that we're going to talk about, I hope. Special circumstances in Rancho Murrieta, isolation. The community is in a ranch farm area that separates it from other communities like Elk Grove, which is 25 miles away and 30 minutes. And I think they're, I got these measure, these time things off of the internet, but I think they're talking about like central city, central Elk Grove, central Folsom, which is 25 miles away and also 30 minutes. Rancho Cordova, which is 26 miles away and 28 minutes. So we have surrounding communities, but they're all at least a half an hour away or depending on traffic, et cetera. So that makes us somewhat isolated. The other the other comments, two other comments that give us heartburn. Sacramento County Sheriffs, they are our only supporting law enforcement. They come from Rancho Cordova and can take as long as 45 minutes to get here, especially if it is viewed as a non-urgent matter. And that's pretty much their decision.
And if it's a non-urgent matter, they pretty much would refer the resident or the community member, whoever it may be.
Back to patrol.
To report the incident online.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. Okay, that, yeah, that gives us a little more information. they will come pretty darn fast if there's a violent situation, and they did the other night. They were, and they were called directly, and that's another message that we need to get out to the community, that if it's a violent situation, they need to, especially if it's a violent situation, they need to call the sheriff's department directly, because they can't expect our patrol to respond to that. increased development in the commercial center. We are now experiencing an increase in crime, especially theft from the Bel Air, and vagrancy and recent trespassing and theft from parked vehicles in the plaza. These are, I think, some of these are situations that we might want to discuss as intervening to a certain extent. I'm really recommending that somebody talk to the plaza, talk to the Bel Air, and encourage them to find their own security, particularly for inside and outside of the store, not necessarily in the parking lot, but our job is basically the CC&Rs behind the gate. That's, but because it's a district, we also are expected to patrol, observe and report in the commercial center. But we can't even write, and neither can the compliance officer, certainly, we can't write a citation. We can't do anything outside of the gate other than observe and report. And this is, I think, a little confusing for people because the distinction between inside the gate and outside the gate is somewhat a little dramatic, dramatically different, because we really should not be doing anything outside the gate except observe and report. And that can mean, as we hopefully will discuss, intervene in a situation. A couple of things that I've run across was there was a guy, this was a while ago, a guy sitting on the grass in front of Bel Air and the Burger King. And he had a dog, and he had a sign, and he was asking for money. And so I called, and the security department came by and told him he had to go away. And the other situation that I saw recently, took into my own hands, was a mom and a couple of kids, which, you know, that's my, what I observed. And they were begging inside the private community, I mean, not inside the gates, but right outside the post office. And I just put down my window and said they were on private property. But that would be a situation that I would expect our security could handle. So those sort of benign situations may be the kind of thing that we can make suggestions to when we get together at the board of directors meeting. Not the board of directors, excuse me, if we are able to have this special meeting. And so that was the next recommendation and request from our board is that we set up a time when the board can meet and talk just about this, because we need to talk about all of the things I've just mentioned, and then on top of that, how we'll change the job descriptions, how it would change the job descriptions, and also how it would lead into a discussion about equipment. So basically what we need to do is get out some kind of request that we have a board meeting, a special board meeting for discussion regarding security and security issues, because mostly it would, as it did the other night, it can take up a long part of a regular board meeting, and there are other issues that we have to discuss at those meetings. So we want to give our full attention to the security department and what we're doing and what we can do. And so let's see if we can find a date, Amelia, for before the October board meeting.
Okay.
I can kind of add to the clarification on what observe and report actually does mean. It usually means watching a situation carefully, taking note of what happens, and then informing the proper authority without directly intervening yourself. Security guards are often instructed to observe and report. Their role is to notice suspicious or dangerous behavior, record it, and alert police or supervisors rather than to stop it themselves. Mm-hmm. So, in short, it just means be a witness, report it, and take it up to the next level.
Right. And like I said, you know, that is, I'm sure, confusing at times for the community, because our security department is the only thing we have that's close by. And so the expectation can be that we would have you folks, you know, the patrol officers in particular, responding to everything, and we can't do that. And so that's another reason why this special board meeting would be appropriate, because we really need clarification, and the community needs clarification on that. And I read, and I know you know this, but all of the codes.
So not just any code, let's be specific for the recording.
Okay. Yeah.
It's chapter 21, which is the security code.
Okay.
And in that code, we found out
it really answers a lot of questions.
It answers a lot of questions.
A lot of questions. Almost all
our
of them.
Forefathers have in section 3 of that code, which I do have displayed here, the authority and scope of services, which goes into detail about the function of security gate officers or security patrol officers is to observe and report the incident to a law enforcement agency.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since this was written however many years ago.
I think it was 2018 or something. What was it?
No.
No.
I mean, that might have been when it was.
The update?
Updated.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I would imagine it was in the early 90s when we put it.
Yeah, right. When
right?
This was,
I mean,
put
I have to guess. I guess I could look.
We need to figure that out.
But now it. So I think that what we need to start with is this document, this security
absolutely.
Code. Absolutely. And look at it, and look at what it says observe and report is, and look at what it says that our officers' duties are, because it clearly says here that it's to observe and report the incident to a law enforcement agency.
Right, right.
But now Sacramento County Sheriff doesn't want our officers, is that right, Brandon, to report. They want the person who's involved in the incident to report.
To report, right.
So I think this is where
we need to make sure that when we have this meeting, that this is available to every board member, and the lawyer and anybody else who is going to be at that meeting, Brandon, I think you know it, so that they can absorb this information and then have that available to continue the discussion. There is one thing in there that we should change, and it's very, it's not a hard thing. They in the code, in the operating code, it says a security chief and a security sergeant. We don't have that anymore.
Right.
We just have the sergeant, and the security chief's duties have been blended into that
position.
Position, right.
So I think that it's appropriate for Brandon and I to look at this, update the things that are obviously blatantly no longer correct or no longer apply, and then bring an updated version to that special meeting so that the board can start with, oh, yeah, we don't have a chief anymore. That update makes sense. Oh, we're not supposed to report it ourselves.
Right, right.
So, and then that'll also open this document up for any other
discussion
and any other changes that the
and
board
makes. And
it
will help us, I think it will help us determine more clearly what it is that we expect from our security department.
Yeah. And then something else I wanted to bring up in this document is violations of this chapter 3.07 pursuant to government code. I'm going to take this to Patrick. A violation of a provision of this chapter is a misdemeanor punishable by imprisonment in the county jail, not exceeding 6 months, or by fine, not exceeding $1,000, or both. So,
this is what I was going to bring up.
I don't think that's ever happened, and I don't know if it's still valid, and I don't know if we called the sheriff and said, hey, you know what, this guy has violated our code. Can you come pick him up? Right?
Right. There's that, but if he's speeding, they're not going to come and pick him up for that. I think that what we have a tool at our disposal that we have not used. And I'm not sure that most people are even aware of the fact that CSD can fine people. Usually that comes from the RMA association, HOA association. So that's another item that we need to talk about.
Right. Penalty for obstructing district security officer, $1,000.
Right.
So.
And that goes to some things that we're going to bring up in the communications committee meeting, which is why I like to have this first, and then we can go to that.
And plus, like, okay, so let's say that these are valid, that we could do this. Mm-hmm. Where do we put that $1,000? Does that go, you know, in lieu of a bake sale to get equipment and services for the
to try and fund
department?
I believe it would. You know.
I think that would be appropriate, but again, if this is valid, I think that the board should say where that money would go.
Right. So it would be a comprehensive look at the fining.
And then it says right there, section 148 of the Penal Code. I just looked that up, and it says that's the, basically it's delay or obstruct a peace officer, public officer, or emergency medical technician in the performance of their duties. So that's listing us as government,
public officer.
Right. So in that case, you would kind of think that that gives you the security more of a not security, you know what I mean?
Right. So, less control.
No,
less,
more control.
More control, sorry.
Yeah.
Right? Because if there's teeth in don't obstruct justice, $1,000 fine, then people are going to be less likely to.
But the point I was trying to make is that it clashes with each other.
Oh, I see.
Because in there saying that to obstruct us is a violation of section 148 of the Penal Code. We're not, it just says up above that we're not peace officers, nor do we have limited peace officer authorities.
Right.
So how can you have both of those in that same?
Okay.
There's a lot of thought that needs to go into this document before.
Absolutely.
Before we have the special meeting.
Right.
And so as you're rereading it, Linda, if you'll circle.
I will, and I have actually.
Just kind of don't jive.
I think that what you and I need to do, and maybe Brandon, if we need your help, is just get together before the meeting and make a list of observations, questions, things we want to discuss, you know, that we've noted, in this meeting.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
I'm very, where did I write this? I know I wrote this down somewhere. Let's take a look at this. I put this in here because it seems like something to consider that we started with job descriptions, and from there we went to the equipment, because if you have a certain job description, then you might want to have certain considerations for that job description. And then we got to the observe and report. So this is like an onion. It has started one place, which seemed fairly simple when we first started talking about it, and now it has gone to, you know, the onion layers, and we're down to really getting, I feel like, really getting to the nitty-gritty of this and helping to give direction to the security department. So I really do believe that this is an important meeting for the board to have.
Yes.
Okay.
I agree. Probably the last, I'll figure it out.
Third week, or
last
the
week.
Second week, the last week of September. Is that what you're thinking, before the
yeah.
What do you call it, meeting, the board meeting? Okay. Just a couple of other things. Anything else that we should make note of, Brandon? Or
I just want to go back to the reason why the sheriff's department prefers if a resident has an incident that they would need a sheriff to come out, why they need to report it directly, is because, for one, they have statistics that they have to log.
Mm-hmm.
And for two, their dispatchers are trained to ask certain questions,
right,
that our dispatchers have not ever been trained to ask.
Right.
And then the third one being, when you think about it, you have an issue that happened that needs to be reported to the sheriff's department. You're not going to call the security department to report it for you because the incident's happening to you. And if you ever played telephone when you were a kid, it starts with one sentence, and by the time it gets to the last person, that sentence is
completely distorted. So,
yeah.
Right, I know what you're talking about.
That's pretty much the reasoning behind why they need to call the sheriff's department directly.
Right, and again, one of the things that needs to happen is, and through the communication committee, I'm partially, but also through taking this whole onion apart and looking at all of these things, but community information, so that there's this, you know, if we can get the community to pay attention to some of this stuff, there's less outrage, less stuff on the social media,
right,
that doesn't really indicate an understanding of what's happening in the real world. And so, again, I'm actually very pleased that we got into this, because we've been going along for many years without a clear understanding or the need to continue to help the community understand their responsibilities and also what we are able to do. And again, it falls in under this business of getting help at a moment or at a time when there's help that's truly needed. It's hard. It's hard when we have a sheriff's department so far away. But I was thinking about something. If you live in a city, say you live in Sacramento, and you have somebody breaking into your house, or you have, you know, some sort of violent situation happening, how long can the people who reside in the city of Sacramento expect to have somebody there? Is it 1 minute? Is it 5 minutes? It's probably more than... It's probably less than 45 minutes, but it's probably not always there in 20 seconds or, you know...
My husband and I were driving, saw what wound up being a fatal car accident.
Oh, my gosh.
And I called 911.
Right.
And it was about 12 minutes before 911 made it out. And I said, I mean, yeah, it was. I'm dramatic. You guys know me. And so
you reported.
I was surprised it took 911 so long to show up, and we were, you know, at Madison and Manzanita. We were in the thick of it.
Yeah, yeah. Does that do you know anything more about that time frame situation in?
I don't know. I'm more of a person that believes in that community should go to know, like, CPR and different stuff. So when we do have these kind of incidents that happen, before the first responders get there, at least you're already doing chest compressions on somebody and getting something going to help save that life.
Right.
The more training that anybody does in their lifetime in society will actually help save somebody's life.
Right.
And, I mean, like I said, I hate bringing up the prison. But I experienced that multiple times because our nurses were, you know, down in their quarters, nowhere near the general population yet of the inmates. I had numerous times where I had to start administering CPR on an inmate to help start saving that inmate's life. And if I didn't know CPR, that inmate could have died. And by the time the nurses got there and the ambulance was called, we're able to actually save somebody's life. And that's just quick thinking and knowing what to do and actually being trained. So
I think that's important. And again, I think it's important for the community to understand that while the sheriff is far away, you know, generally speaking, we have this isolation type of situation. We can't even, you know, we wouldn't call another community's police force. They wouldn't be able to respond. But even outside of Rancho Murrieta, in other parts of the city, and Sacramento and other parts of the state, et cetera, it is not always going to be possible to get attention as quickly as you think you should have it or need to have it. So
right,
it's not just here. It's not just here.
It's not just here, no. And, and there's only so many sheriffs.
Exactly.
And they have to say, well, we had a shooting or we had a car accident.
Right.
They prioritize everything.
They have to prioritize that.
And, and Sacramento is millions of people. We're 5,000. So,
Travis?
I just have a question, and I don't know if this is even possible, but could the district make an arrangement with... We have a lot of sheriffs that live here.
Yeah.
Can the district make arrangements to potentially, if necessary, call off-duty sheriffs to report, to respond to something?
My understanding of that is...
Well, no, I understand that it costs money, but...
Right.
I
mean, well, two things.
But if it's, life or death.
I believe we have in the past had some relationship like that, but it's usually for like special events and stuff like that. It's not usually for general patrol.
It's pre-arranged.
Yeah, right. So I don't know the technicalities of what we could do as far as it relates to asking. A lot of the people who live here don't want to be, you know, called on. Right.
Would you want to pop over to Fair Oaks Water District?
I wouldn't want to arrest my neighbor.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, that could be awkward too. Huh?
It is an idea, and it has been suggested before, and I think we've used it a few times when it came to special events. And the other organization that, particularly when it comes to accidents and things like that, is the Highway Patrol. And actually, they can get here usually faster than the sheriff if they're somebody in the area, and they can cover everything. They don't have maybe they do have districts that they're supposed to cover. I'm sure they do, but that is another resource, particularly when it comes to something like an accident, calling the Highway Patrol. Okay. All of this is again brought up because of what we thought was the simple discussion of job descriptions. So, again, I'm wanting to do this meeting as soon as possible. I know Brandon has been operating under circumstances that are a little too vague, to say the least. And we owe it to the community to give them answers and to indicate where their responsibilities lie.
I just think by the end of everything, everything is going to be structured the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And then that will also make everything easier from years on, even after on.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
It'll give everybody guidance.
Absolutely. And I believe it was Director President Merchant who said, you know, we haven't really looked at this stuff in like 40 years, you know, or...
Some of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, okay. I have a couple of other things that I just wondered about that I put on my report or my request. Where are we with the camera program? Do we have what we need? Is RMA involved with us, working with us on this?
About the cameras, I have no clue of any of that.
So maybe that's something that we need to bring up in your meetings with Chris and RMA General Manager, Rod? Because mm-hmm. we were working with RMA on these on this camera program.
Is it specifically about camera placement? Or like...
Camera placement,
costs?
Responsibility for viewing cameras, just about anything that would have to do with getting a camera thing working.
And, I mean, after speaking with Rod Hart and Chris, RMA does really want to have a relationship with CSD, like, because it kind of goes hands in hand.
We're, yeah, sure it does.
You know, even with the talks about switching to another gate access.
Right.
They're saying that, you know, they would even possibly go halves with us on it because it's their thing.
Right.
They're using it.
Exactly.
And they're operating it. So they're trying to... They want to be more into a lot of that stuff, and if it
I'm
has
so
to be
happy
with
to hear that. Yeah.
If it has to be with the camera situation too, I mean, that'd be beneficial for everything because then, you know, it's more eyes looking at these cameras.
Exactly.
Than one, so.
Well, that was when we first started the program. The response that we were able to have from watching and when an incident happened and realizing we had a camera at the gate that captured that incident or we had a camera someplace else that captured what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
That had started basically with Kelly, if I'm not mistaken, maybe before that, but they were able to really nail a few people, you know, and thefts and things that
Kelly
were going on.
Kelly was really good at that.
One of the questions really I good. Have about these cameras, is that specific cost just for stationary cameras? Or is it like a general thing, like say like a drone being a camera?
Oh, yeah.
Could you maybe purchase a drone and we could use that to, and, you know, go...
That would be...
It depends on where the money's coming from. So
well, it would be a budgetary thing is what I was going to say, yeah.
If the money came from the new houses, there's the security impact fee. Mm-hmm. So every new house that's built has to pay, I don't know, however much. And that money has to go for...
Security.
Security, and it has to go for security right there where those houses are that it's come from, mm-hmm. right? So, but is there money in the security reserve?
I have no idea.
We don't know.
Yeah,
okay.
And
right.
One of the questions that Mike Martell had.
I just wanted to bring up a drone because, again, we used to use them at the prison, and we had a drone that would circle because we had a problem with people throwing packages of contraband over the fence. And,
yes.
We're, you know, you would think we're in the middle of nowhere, but, of course, there's people running from the highway, booty crashing through the woods just to get these packages over
right.
and flood our prison. But we had a drone that would circle. And it would actually capture some of those incidents happening. It would capture stabbings that were on the yard. I mean,
mm-hmm.
but if we use a drone like over here, it could go into the back areas, and you could also program a path that it takes to patrol areas. So where an officer
can't
be.
That would be awesome.
You know?
Yeah.
You could
view
it from there.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Especially like when you have these incidents like fires going on, we
right.
could exactly see where the fire is burning
right.
at and, you know, have a drone in the air and report it to the proper authorities like, hey, this is going on right now.
I think we need to put this discussion as an item.
Do you want that to be on the special meeting then, too?
Yeah, okay. I think so. Mm-hmm. The drones would be operated by security. Yeah, they're
well,
not
they,
operated
they
by people, community people.
Yeah, they have specific trainings for
okay.
drone operators, and you'd mm-hmm. get certifications in it. Regarding, like, FFA stuff, you know, with stuff going in the air, I don't know regulations on any of that, but I know you do have to be a certified operator to operate a drone.
But with us being so close to an airport, will they allow it?
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, air traffic.
Possibly a...
Well, and that's
aren't
why...
Aren't airplanes up here and drones are down here?
But with that,
have you seen how low that they in come theory. In for the landing?
In
over
theory.
The yellow bridge?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I'm just, you know.
No, it's it's true. The other part of that that I want to make sure we understand is that these drones are not operated by community people. They're operated by,
sure.
as you said, trained security officers, actually. That you would be the folks who would operate those.
Correct.
Okay. So maybe we have some solutions to some of these problems.
I mean, there's modern technology that could just help benefit everybody, honestly.
And it's time that we look at that, because the community has grown dramatically in the last 10 years.
Right.
I mean, dramatically. We're at 6,000 people, almost.
Yeah.
And we've got a couple hundred more houses to go that have been approved. And so that's going to add another 500 people. And then what happens out in the other non-entitled property?
To me, there's just so many beneficial things about a drone, because especially like with the water treatment plant, you have chlorine gas.
Right.
We could
fly
it over there instead of having a guy
Let's
go.
Let's not talk about
I'm
that.
Just saying.
Okay?
I'm just saying.
We're trying to help you out, Trey.
That's the one thing.
Put that out there.
That's the one thing that's always scared me about the...
Yeah, hello? So let's just go ahead and talk about it. What a drone
do. No, it's a part. It would be a part of the helpful stuff going on in here that we could help Travis with, I think.
Does the drone operator have to be
certified
here to operate the drone, or can I get a call? Can you get a call in the middle of the night? You know, hey, can you check out what's going on at the South Beach?
How much you want to spend.
Exactly. It depends on how much you want to spend on the drone, because you could have a drone being flown from Washington, D.C.
Yeah, because I know I can lock and unlock the door anywhere, you know, on my phone. So, technology.
Okay, and the last thing, I hope we get to the point where we can do this, is to have, when we have a functioning, reorganized district, including security, plan an informational community event with sheriffs and security staff and board to exchange information and answer questions. So it would be RMCSD day. Maybe the proposed design for our property from the Garden Club, and maybe we'd be finished with that by then.
Because we used to, whenever they had special events, we used to put a table out. And some of us always got picked to sit at the table. And we'd have a security person there. We'd have an operator there.
Yeah.
That way people could just come by and ask a question.
That's exactly what I'm looking for. Yeah.
We should host the community barbecue.
Oh my gosh, that's a great idea. I like that.
Tri-tip for everything.
And Brandon's
well, we've got
cooking.
The one thing that we've got to do is get the audits done before we do
it. You know what? Call Jason. He likes to put big packs of meat on his smoker. So
nice.
I'm hoping that we get to that point. So that is just a suggestion.
Yeah.
All right, Amelia, where else do we have things
we
to...
Are we
done?
We've already talked about... We've talked a lot about observe and report, so I believe we're at item number five, director comments.
And I've made a million comments today, so I don't have anything else to say. Anybody else? Are we okay with this? All right. I'm going to adjourn the meeting at 9:48. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.